An hour later, a heavily cloaked figure moved rapidly along the road towards Cambridge. Often the pedestrian had to hide in the long grass and brush, and sometimes a tree branch above the road provided him with a resting place while the soldiers who were on picket passed along. It was a long and tedious walk to reach the American lines, a walk fraught with much danger, for had he been challenged and had failed to give the password, he would have been placed under arrest. And that was the very last thing he desired. At last he heard a challenge which did not trouble him, for he walked boldly up to the soldier who, with a gun across his chest, barred the way. "Who goes there?" "A friend." "The word?" "Boys of Liberty." "Pass, brother, and may your coming be a harbinger of good." The soldier had no right to say anything, but strict military discipline was not enforced among those citizen soldiers. The cloaked figure walked quickly along the Watertown Road until he came to a house which stood a little back from the road amid a lot of tall trees and shrubbery. This was the late residence of John Vassal, a noted Tory, but was at the time of which we write the headquarters of General Washington. At the entrance, a password was exacted, and an entirely different one was given. That it was the correct one was evident, for the soldier stood on one side and bade the traveler enter. "I must see General Washington at once," he said in a tone of command. "By what right?" Taking a ring from his finger, he handed it to the orderly and said, "Take that to the general and tell him I wish to see him." In a very few minutes, the orderly returned and beckoned for the owner of the ring to follow. In a rear room, Washington stood ready to receive him. There were no signs of recognition until the soldier, on the motion of the general, withdrew. "You have news? Are we alone?" "Absolutely." The cloak was thrown back, and then Washington put out his hand and grasped that of Frank Lowry. "Lowry, I'm pleased to see you. Why have you chosen night for a visit?" "I took part in an entertainment at the Province House, so could not get here earlier. I feared that you might not like to be roused from sleep."
"You see, I have not retired."
"It is midnight."
"Midnight or noon makes but little difference to me. I feel heavy at heart."
"You do not lose hope."
"No, but I'm constantly urged to press the enemy, and I fear such a step."
"Why?"
"Insufficiency of supplies and lack of preparation. Congress does not realize the situation."
"Well, I have dared to act, and I want you to seize the opportunity."
"You did not succeed?"
"Better than I ever thought of."
"I'm all impatience. Tell me what's been done. Can it be possible that Howe has been induced to act?"
For nearly an hour, the two representatives of the colonial cause conversed in whispers. Washington, tall, stately, magnificent, Frank Lowry, a boy, full of enthusiasm and patriotic fervor, met as equals. Washington trusted the boy, and the boy almost worshipped the general.
"If the plan does not miscarry, a glorious work will be accomplished ere the night shadows fall on the morrow," said Washington.
"All depends on our men.
We can rely on them."
"I wish I could be with you, but I dare not be seen. I must report in Boston early in the morning, or I may be suspected."
"I fear the danger may fall upon you."
"I'll be careful. But if I fall, what is one life to the triumph of a glorious cause?"
"My boy, have you thought of the consequence of being captured?"
Lowry put his hand significantly to his throat and made a motion of a rope tightening round it. "I would rather die on the battlefield, but anywhere is good enough to die in a great cause."
"Heaven preserve you. Always remember that you can retire whenever you wish. You have done so much good work."
"When you retire, General, so will I, and I do not think that will be just yet."
"Take the ring. It will pass you at all times and may save you some discomfort. Rest here until you must make your return journey. I go to make arrangements for the early morn. Heaven preserve you."